All right, welcome everybody. So thanks for tuning in. And today's topic is what Biden's presidency means for your taxes. Now, this is going to be a really challenging topic to cover because there are so many different things that we could touch on, different elements of the tax code that may be impacted by Biden. We also haven't gotten incredibly clear guidance on exactly what they want to do in every area of the tax plan. I'll go over some of the areas and how certain we are based on the analysis and in the documentation I've reviewed for this webinar. And also, obviously, we're going to be analyzing Joe Biden's tax plan. How much of this is going to go through is really anybody's guess at this point. We know that it has, you know, based on, you know, what's going to happen in the races in the House of Reps and the Senate and all these different variables and different compromises that may take place. But it's a good time to at least think about some things that may impact you and your taxes if you are a business owner or a real estate investor. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through some potential challenges, some potential opportunities, and some things that we may be thinking about in the future for tax planning. So this is, if you guys are CPAs listening, this might give you some ideas when your clients are coming to you and asking what to do about potential liabilities for capital gains and other things. We're going to talk about some strategies we may implement as we see potential changes in our tax code. So let me pull up my slide and we can get going on some of these slides, my PowerPoint. So as I go through this, you know, feel free to put some questions into the chat. And once I've gone through the slides, I'll read through all the questions and address them as best I can. Again, there's only so much that we can do right now to anticipate potential changes in the tax code because there's just so much unknown. But now is a good time at least to start thinking about this and being aware about things in the long term. So as I said earlier, we're going to talk about potential challenges. We're going to talk about maybe what could be the worst of the worst under Joe Biden's tax plan. So keeping it positive, we're calling them potential challenges, potential opportunities. So even with these tax changes and potential increased liabilities, there may be opportunities for you real estate investors, and I will go into those as well. And then possible tax planning opportunities. Again, because nothing is set in stone yet, and we don't even know when these bills may pass, there's a lot unknown, but we could talk about some of the things that I will be working on with my clients on now and in future years in anticipation and reaction to different tax legislation aligned with Joe Biden's tax plan. So potential challenges that we're going to see are increases in Social Security taxes for income over $400,000. So as of right now, if you're an employee or self-employed, if you have active income, so not rental income, but active income as a real estate agent, or maybe you're a general contractor or you're a salaried employee, as of right now, you pay 15.3%. So payroll taxes comes out of your paycheck and in addition to your federal and state taxes, 12.3% of that is Social Security and goes away after you have paid that tax on your first $137,700 for 2020. Anything beyond that, you're just paying taxes on an increased Medicare tax of 3.8%. But what's going to happen under this plan, if it goes through, is once you start making over $400,000, that 12.4% Social Security tax is going to come back and hit you again on top of your state taxes and your federal taxes being taxed at the higher marginal rate. So that could be pretty painful for some of you high income earners. We got to consider the fact that once you jump into that higher tax bracket, you're also, you know, paying higher federal taxes. Only half of your payroll taxes are deductible against your federal taxes. So you could potentially be paying more than 50% of your income can be going to taxes at those higher marginal brackets. So that can be pretty tough. Another thing that we want to think about is increasing, there are going to be some increases on capital gains tax, right? So that right now, the capital gains rates are 15% or 20%. In addition, you could have potential net investment income tax on top of that. So that's 3.8% on top of those amounts, depending on what your income tax level is. If your income is over $1 million, then you will be taxed at your marginal rate on your capital gains. So that can be pretty substantial for some of you guys. Also, on top of that, if it's treated like there, some of the analysts are saying that we are going to treat this as ordinary income, and therefore we also may be subject to some additional payroll taxes. Some analysts are saying that we're going to pay that, you know, we're still going to have that net investment income tax on top of your marginal rate. So it can get really, really high up there for capital gains rates. I don't really have the clear specifics, but if you are a high income earner, your capital gains taxes can be pretty painful in the future. Elimination of the step up basis. The step up basis, when we're talking about that, is you have a depreciable basis for your real estate. Over time, you have that depreciable write off, and your depreciable basis, the basis of your building on your books, will diminish over time. To give you an example, I buy a property for $1 million. Let's say the building is worth $1 million, and that is depreciating over time after 27.5 years. Let's say it's worth, we fully depreciate it, and that building is down to a $0 value. And then if I pass away and pass it to my heirs, the heirs get the building at the fair market value. So let's say that building is worth $5 million. The heirs will inherit that building, and it will have that increased basis, and they can begin depreciating it all over again. And that depreciation may offset any income from that property through the life of my heirs, investing or ownership of that asset. So so Biden's tax plan is saying, hey, you know, this is just a little bit unfair because you're never paying taxes on it, and then it's going to be passed down to future generations, and they're going to see the benefits of depreciation all over again. There's no taxes on the increased gain, and yet we're bringing the basis up. It's a major loophole for creating generational wealth. Well, that may go away under Biden. Another area that we see is the top individual tax rate could increase to back up to 39.6 for individuals making over $400,000 a year. Now that one as well, these are all speculative, but for some of you high income earners, this will obviously impact your taxes as well. Removal of real estate tax breaks. This has been something that they've said, but they haven't been incredibly specific on. I skipped one. We'll go back. So one of the things, and I really hope that we can keep this privilege, is the $25,000 passive activity loss exemption. What that is normally you cannot use passive losses from your long-term real estate to offset your ordinary income from your day job. But if your income is below $100,000, you can take $25,000 of passive losses and use that to offset your active income from your job. So this is a fantastic opportunity for some of you newer investors who are just getting started to create some write-offs after you've invested all of your money into these rental properties, and those write-offs can help you reduce your taxes and reinvest and buy more property. That could potentially go away. Some other things they're talking about going away are the ability to accelerate portions of the depreciation portions of real estate. Bonus depreciation is already set to be phased out by 2026. They may eliminate that sooner, or may make it more challenging for us to recognize bonus depreciation on some items with real estate. We haven't been provided specific guidance on what exactly that means. I skipped one that is incredibly important that everybody is talking about, which is the elimination of the 1031 exchange. Now, some of you may know that is our ability to defer capital gains tax and depreciation recapture tax when we sell property by, instead of just selling it outright for a profit, we sell it and we purchase another property of equal or greater value. Now, that 1031 exchange is something that a lot of people are talking about that may go away. So that one could really, that's going to probably be one of the most talked about topics for the next, the next months or years when people are discussing tax legislation. And also Biden has, he has stated that he's interested in undoing the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. So some of the privileges we have for that are the 20% qualified business income deduction, which is really a tremendous benefit for some of you guys, especially real estate agents and people starting off on your own who are sole proprietors and partners, and even S-Corps somewhat. That really encourages people to start their own businesses and have their own trade or craft with the 20% qualified business income deduction. Now, that incentive may go away a little sooner than we anticipated. But let's think about this. What's something that most of you guys did not like about the Tax Cut and Jobs Act? Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but there were some elements of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that actually caused some people to pay some more in taxes. So in the next slide, we're going to talk about some new opportunities that may open because of Biden's presidency and potentially new tax legislation. Potential opportunities. So with the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, as we were talking about earlier, you're only able to deduct $10,000 of your state and local taxes against federal taxes. If we repeal or modify this this Tax Cut and Jobs Act, it's possible that we can get more of these SALT taxes as a deduction against our federal income taxes. Also, we may be able to deduct more of our mortgage interest expense. There's a limit right now. That limit will increase. Another thing that they're talking about is first-time home buyer credits increasing up to, well, they're going to bring it back, and there's discussion of having a $15,000 first-time home buyer credit. So for some of you real estate agents out there doing residential, this is an opportunity now to have maybe a larger client base. And maybe with new home buyers entering the market, that'll bring the prices up. Maybe some of you guys looking to get your first property under your belt and looking to house hack, maybe here's your chance to get that seed money for your first owner-occupied loan that can turn into eventually being your first rental property. Also, Biden has discussed increasing the incentives that are created through the new market in the low-income housing credit. So these housing credits, without going too deep into the specifics, these housing credits are incentives to develop new housing in areas where there is maybe a shortage of quality housing. So based on certain criteria, for instance, with the new market and low income, you're typically looking for areas that need to be developed that need better quality housing, and you can get substantial amounts of tax credits for developments where the government's these tax credits can be utilized to finance the construction and development of these properties. If you want to talk about an opportunity to have astronomical cash on cash return for your investments, these housing credits can be really powerful. Okay, so let's talk about some possible planning opportunities. So as you know, I'm thinking a little bit ahead of time here, but with some of the things that we discussed, here are the things that we want to think about. We may be thinking about as far as planning for potential changes in the tax code. Well, if we lose that step-up basis, how else can we create that tax-free, that generational wealth? Or if we're worrying about, especially talk about capital gains real quick. So if we're anticipating capital gains on the disposition of our properties, and we want to have a long-term plan to have income that comes out tax-free, let's start thinking about self-directed accounts. So you can invest with your self-directed Roth IRA. That income, that as you begin to pay off the mortgage in that property, you have something called unrelated debt financed income that will diminish over time. If you fully own this property with no mortgage, when you sell it, the capital gains tax within that Roth IRA will be completely tax-free. So here's a way to bypass all of these challenges with potential increases in capital gains tax and elimination of the 1031 exchange. Also consider one of the methods that we can create, because we're anticipating our tax liabilities increasing if we lose our QBI deductions and the rates go up. Life insurance policies are one of the ways that people may put some money aside to build wealth in a tax-free device, just like the Roth IRA. Obviously, you got to pay fees to manage that, but that is another method where we're anticipating our tax liabilities against future earnings to increase. This is a way that we can pull money out from current savings, have it grow tax-free. Now, another thing that we can do when it comes to capital gains planning there's quite a few strategies, but some of them are just timing your sales. So for instance, let's say you anticipate jumping into that higher tax bracket next year where your capital gains rates will increase. You may want to sell that property now, or maybe you want to time certain things and time certain dispositions so we can minimize our capital gains. Also, installment sales, so we can recognize those capital gains over time if we sell things via installment sale when we're pretty much the owner finance on this owner financing the sales of these transactions. We can also pull money out of properties through refinancing, right? So let's say our property has doubled in value and we need some cash. Instead of just selling it or 1031ing it, another way that we can obtain capital and have greater liquidity from the increased value of our properties is through refinancing and taking out a loan on the equity of your property. And we can start doing 1031s now. So if you are thinking about doing a 1031 in the next year, now might be a good time to start thinking about this and maybe taking action if you have a plan in place and you know what kind of properties you want to place it at. The market rate is pretty good. 1031 might make a lot of sense now. What we may see if the 1031 goes away, we might see this land grab for lots of people trying to get rid of their investment properties before that time runs up. I really don't know what it's going to look like. Another opportunity here is more cost segregation. I talk about cost segregation all the time. It's our ability to isolate different parts of our real estate and property and classify them as personal property, things such as the cabinets, furnitures, and fixtures, and depreciate them faster. Even if we lose our bonus depreciation, the cost segregation studies will still be valuable. Also consider the fact, if we do not 1031 exchange our properties on the dispositions, if we just sell them regularly and pay those capital gains tax, sure, we're going to pay more taxes, but the new properties, if we buy new properties, instead of 1031ing them, we're going to have higher bases because we're not deferring the gains, which reduces our bases. When we have a higher depreciable basis, we will see greater benefits from cost segregation. So even if we lose our bonus depreciation, cost segregation is a fantastic way to minimize or eliminate our tax burden from our investments or other sources of income. The last topic I wanted to cover is just take advantage of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act now, right? So a lot of us knew this coming in when you looked at historically what the tax code has looked like for our country. We are in a time where there are so many fantastic incentives for you to go out on your own and to develop your business with this qualified business income deduction and the bonus depreciation. There are so many tax benefits that you got to at least consider if you're thinking about starting a project or going out on your own. Right now, when you think about all the write-offs we can create as business owners and investors. We really want to make sure that we're aware of all these opportunities that might go away and enjoy it while we can. Because even without Joe Biden, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, all of it was going to be sunsetting in 2026 anyways. We were going to have that bonus depreciation get phased out anyways. So why not, while we can and we're young and we're hungry and we're developing our businesses, be aware and take advantage of all of these incentives to invest in your endeavors while you still can. Because in the future, hopefully you will see the benefits and the rewards from your prior investments and all the entrepreneurship that this bill encouraged. And you'll be able to take that tax hit if and when it comes. So let's do what we can now and be aware of all the tax incentives and benefits for real estate investors and business owners. So I'm going to open up now for questions. And I'm going to stop sharing my screen. So put your questions in the chat. Let's see what we got here. Right. So 1031 exchanges would, those being eliminated would be really hard for business owners. Because especially if it's necessary for you to, especially for certain businesses where it's necessary for you to acquire new land and replacement land. The 1031 exchange was developed about 100 years ago, and it was really meant for farmers when they needed to exchange for new farmland, so they didn't have to incur that capital gains tax. So, and a lot of people are predicting that with the 1031 exchanges, it's going to hurt the real estate market, because with the 1031 exchange, you have more capital to leverage into larger and bigger properties and grow your real estate portfolios or whatever business endeavors faster. If we lose that 1031 exchange, there's going to be less of a demand for real estate. The number of transactions may decline as a result of the 1031. So it looks like we don't have too many questions right now. I want to tell you guys about my next webinar that is going to be on Thursday, December 17th at 1 p.m. We are going to discuss tax and investment strategies for real estate agents. So this is, if you or anyone you know is a real estate agent who's interested in investing as well, we're going to discuss about how you can leverage the real estate professional tax status and your credentials as a real estate agent to thrive and save money in real estate investing and reduce your overall taxes. So that's going to be on December 17th. And we're going to talk about things along the lines of entity structures and the S-Corp utilization and certain tax traps that may come along the way as well. So if you or someone you know is interested, you can send them the link. I'll shoot you the link as well to everyone attending and on my mailing list. Also, as you know, I do provide a free discovery session. If you're curious, if you need a tax plan or you think you might be overpaying in your taxes, you know, you can shoot me an email and we'll set something up where we can look through your prior returns and see what you're doing and see if there are any missed opportunities or future opportunities so we can create a tax plan and reduce your overall taxes. Well, it looks like right now we don't have a whole lot of questions. I hope you guys got something out of this. I'm sorry for the vagueness. That's the best information I got right now on what's going to happen to our tax code when these bills come out. I will be sending newsletters and doing webinars on what everything means and what we should be doing to plan for this to best set us up for success. Right now, there's just the dust needs to settle a little bit more. Another thing we want to think about is Biden has at least stated that his priority right now is first taking care of the coronavirus. So, if what we believe is that his first initiative will be to implement more testing stations, have more readily available tests, and get this coronavirus under control and bring our society back to a normal state, that should be prioritized over increasing taxes and issuing these new changes in our tax code. So we should have some time. And 2020 and 2021, at least we should still see tons of benefits, and we will be ready for whatever changes take place. You know, let's stay in touch. If you have any questions, I'd love to be a resource for you. I will fill you in on everything you need to know. I hope you guys enjoyed this webinar and you found it useful. We will stay in touch. Thanks for your time. And let's keep in touch. And I'm about to sign out. So hope you guys all enjoy yourself.